On this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, I sit down with Lori Grema to uncover funding face-off.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, where we provide you actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. During this episode, you're going to get to discover funding face-off, the television show, and the person behind it. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Neil Timmons. I love passive income from real estate. Now, before I introduce you to today's Maverick, I want to make a request that at any point, like what you hear, well, give us a thumbs up. Be certain to subscribe to the show, never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you hear, well, give us a written review. Plus, be sure to look at the description of this episode. We've packed it with thousands of dollars in free resources. Now, today, we've got the privilege to learn from a person who's been involved in hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate. I would describe today's Maverick as someone who's passionate about real estate, about investors, about educating them about getting involved in real estate. Today's Maverick, Lori Graymont. Say, for the audience's sake, Lori, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Yeah, thank you, Neil, for today. So I'm a real estate developer. I've been doing it for about 30 years. I focus on land entitlement and use changes. I've also done about $150 million worth of transactions and raised over $50 million. So I've seen a little bit in the industry.
A little bit there. And you've got a TV show. There's almost nothing you haven't done. And so this is going to be an absolute wonderful conversation. See, I'm curious, you and I spoke maybe a year ago or so, and we were talking about the television show. Maybe for the audience's sake, tell us a little about that. And then certainly I'll unpack. Well, I'll pepper you with enough questions and enough subject matters where we'll get a whole lot today.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. So we created a Shark Tank style TV show for real estate investors. And we have a panel of five deal makers. And in each show, we have three real estate investors come and pitch us a deal asking for capital or funding for their deals. And we kind of pit those three people together and against each other. We eliminate one, boo-hoo, they have to leave. And then we have the two, and the two face off, kind of sweetening the deal for us. And eventually we pick one as the winner, and then we do our underwriting. And it was such an amazing time. We recorded about 11 shows. And they're all in the can as the speak goes. And we expect to be releasing them this Q1 of 2024. And it has been an amazing opportunity for us to participate in deals and see the deals come across our desk because of this.
That's incredible. The name of the show?
Funding Face-Off.
Funding Face-Off. You know, if there's no doubt, every deal, well, first, you got to start with the deal. So every transaction starts with the deal. And then you got to have funding one way or another, or multiple ways to be able to get the thing together. What were some of the things you learned, or some of the things that you were exposed to that maybe were new to you through that show?
Well, it was really interesting. We had a diverse panel of deal makers, us on there, anywhere from people being in the industry for 10 years, people focusing on rehab only. We even had Kevin Harrington, a former Shark, on there. And we didn't know what deals were going to be presented to us before they were presented. And within a matter of 30 minutes, we were like cutting deals, like, yes, we want in on this one type cutting deals, or cutting deals like, no, this is a really bad deal, or no, we don't want to work with you. And it kind of brought attention to, when you have experience in this industry, you realize how fast making decisions is, how important it is to be making those decisions and to just trust your gut. I mean, so many of those things, it was just like, there was a gut feel that it's just not right, and they're out. And I think that's real life. When we get deals across our desks, we take the time to kind of look through it, and some just get trashed right away and some deserve another look. So,
yeah, that's interesting. So have you gained, or maybe what were some of the things that would be red flags for you to tip you off? I'm wondering, from the passive investor standpoint, what kind of things they should be asking somebody who sits in your shoes or my shoes when they're considering a deal, ultimately how it got to this point where you and I are involved in it. What are the checks and balances that hit green lights to get to a point where you're going to converse with somebody else about it to potentially maybe raise money, for example?
Yeah. So one of the things that we were really strong on was talking to the deal sponsor or the operator to see, like, what is their background? How long have they been doing it? And one of the questions we would ask is, like, tell me about a deal that failed. And if they came up and says, oh, I haven't had any deals fail, I always win, we knew, okay, we don't want to work with this person. And you might think, but why would you want to work with someone who had a deal fail? Well, first of all, real estate investing is risky and things will go wrong, but you want to be with that person who knows how to recover from the wrong. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as they'd say, oh, I've never had a deal fail, we knew we had a novice and that we really didn't want to work with them. And so I think that's a key piece, is understanding the experience and how somebody has recovered from something going sideways.
Sure. Yeah. No, I liken that to baseball. You know, Babe Ruth held the record for most home runs and most strikeouts in the same season. Right.
That's true. And even Warren Buffett, people say, have you ever lost money? He says, yeah, of course I've lost money. I just gain more than I lose, you know, and that's what this is about, is staying in the game.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Were there a particular deal that stands out, or they're just kind of all over the board and they're just so interesting, so varied, they kind of just all run together in terms of some of their uniqueness?
There were some that were interesting. Like, someone was taking a mobile home park and repositioning it into being single family, like buying it, holding it, and then repositioning it into single family lots. I thought that was pretty good. There were quite a few fix and flips. I love the ones where they bring it seller carry and they just need the rehab money. I mean, to me, I love creative finance, and that person that's thinking outside the box knows the value of having that and not having to pay all the closing costs the way lenders do. So that was good. There were definitely deals where the person hadn't thought it through. Like, they brought a deal, they wanted us to put in about $100,000, but they were asking us to put in more money than what the deal was worth. Like, they bought it for 80, they were going to do rehab for 10, and they wanted us to put in, I think it was 120. And we're thinking, okay, something's not working here on the math. So then they had to go back and redo the math. Then there was another one where the person was asking for money, but had no idea how they were going to pay us back.
No biz plan there, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just all over. But the fun part was that we got to connect with, I would say, younger, newer investors and say, yeah, you know, you do have a deal here, but you don't have the experience. So let us come alongside you and help you and give you that experience. And that's really kind of like, you're working with our money, but you're also getting our knowledge.
Oftentimes more valuable than the money.
Yes.
Right.
Well, one of my famous sayings is that you will pay for your education one way or another.
There's no doubt about that. Yes. Yeah. See, part of your background, among many things, is you've raised a lot of money. You've been involved in a lot of projects, raising capital from passive investors and helping them place that into projects on a limited basis standpoint, meaning they're limited partners.
Yes.
What, from the limited partner standpoint, you've seen a lot of them. Those who succeed in what they do, meaning placing investments with you or among many other people, and those who maybe sell themselves short. Maybe they never end up inside of a deal because of something holding them back. Mm-hmm. Now, what have you seen the difference be between those who have done very well in the limited partner standpoint and those who maybe haven't done as well?
Well, the ones not doing as well aren't taking action. Mm. we see a lot of that right now in the marketplace, that people are sitting on the sideline and they might even be getting excited over their 4% that they're getting in their savings.
Sure.
But I think they're forgetting the economics. Like right now, I think inflation is 3.1 and then you have to pay taxes on your 4%. You're going backwards. You're going broke slowly. And you need to be investing and continuing to invest at least 10, 15, 20% returns. I think it's critical to have a mixture and have different investments and keep them invested. The other part is being patient capital. When limited partners have in their mind, okay, this investment is going to last 3 years and maybe it takes five. We had COVID or we have capital market changes. Mm-hmm. If you're forcing the sponsor to exit because you had an expectation, you will suffer losses. The biggest risk, you and I both know, the biggest risk in real estate is timing.
That's right. I think the banks learned that in 2008, did they not?
Yes, they did.
And they've learned that this time around, I think in the commercial realm. 2008, what they learned was, if you're just patient, you wait long enough, it's all coming back.
That's it.
And if you want to go to a fire sale, what happened in 2008, this is, I'm being extreme here, but you get your face ripped off, which is what happened in 08. For everything flooding the market in single family side.
Absolutely.
And what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, maybe I would love your input on this right now. And, you know, as we enter 2024, interest rates have, you know, they were way elevated compared to we were 18, 24 months ago, but banks aren't seeing a level of distress.
Nope.
Not much. And if there is, they're working with their borrowers and working them through it because they believe right now, based on what the Fed is projecting, that we've turn the corner and we're headed towards a new ground of positivity in the environment.
Absolutely. And I see that. And I think that's really the biggest thing as limited partners, just stay patient. I mean, if you think of all the homeowners and investors that did fire sales in 2008, had they just hung on till the market recovered or even hung on till now, like how much different would their financial profile look? So it's just all about timing.
Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com. Talk to me about your opinion on diversification. I see a lot of people who are going, I'm all in on, I see a lot of, we know a lot of multifamily folks. I'm all in a multifamily. That's all I do. That's a space I live in. And I think for multifamily, it's one of the easiest, maybe the easiest to grasp because we all live in a house or an apartment or something. We all live in something that can remind us of an apartment. So our ability to understand this is where I live, I can understand somebody else writing a check to live here. Now it's a box and now there's 50 or 500 of them. It's easy to make that leap into that asset class. And a lot of people make that leap and stay right there.
Well, I mean, when you've been in real estate multiple years, you see that different asset classes kind of have their day in the spotlight. And when we were coming out of COVID and that kind of thing, there was a good time there to get into some multifamily. But right now may not be the best time to get into multifamily because there is new construction and there's a lot of units that are going to be coming online, which will push the rents down. And by pushing the rents down, typically the value is based on income. So that's going to push the values down at the worst time, because a lot of these loans are going to be coming into a maturity date where they have to go and get refinanced and the value is not going to be there to get them refinanced. So I just think that it's not a good play right now to be going in. I say wait until you start to see blood in the street.
There is some of that. I've looked at a couple of charts recently that indicated, as you said, there's a lot of units coming online. Some of that is the pent up from COVID, meaning they could not finish the projects. That permits were pulled, starts took place, and they were just in the pipeline and couldn't finish. Delay after delay after delay. And I know it's weird to be talking about this now, what feels like eons ago from COVID.
Yes.
But construction takes time.
And, you know, supply chains, and then municipalities didn't really know how to work through the whole process virtually with all their offices being shut down. And so even us, we have developments that were supposed to be done a year ago, just now getting entitled a year later. And we've been on phone calls with the city and they're asking the developers, are you going to be starting your construction? Well, now we're coming into capital markets restrictions. And a lot of them are not going to be starting, but we have all this inventory that was there coming online at the same time. So it's just a strange time. So back to the question on diversification, absolutely need diversification. I mean, you're in the stock market, you're diversifying. In real estate, you should be diversifying. You should be maybe doing industrial and maybe some development, some serious value add at the same time, just changing it up. Avoid maybe office.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the sectors that is having some hard time. Data centers is another good one. And we like seniors housing. That's really kind of where we are because we felt like that is not market dependent. So that was why we chose to go seniors housing.
There's a tremendous wave. We both have seen it in terms of the number of baby boomers retiring every day.
Yes.
Number of baby boomers turning 65 every day. It's unbelievable just what the demographics look like. And it's going to drive it there, whether you like it or not. It's happening.
Yes, for sure.
Talk to me about looking forward to 2024. What are you most excited about?
I think things are starting to move again. So the way I kind of look at it is 2023 was a year of repositioning for a lot of people. It was a year of just wait and see what happens. I think as the interest rates start to come down, and I'm a believer they are coming down, so I speak it like they are. Maybe it'll change. But as the rates come down, I think people are going to have less fear. And so then the liquidity starts to change in the marketplace and things start moving a little faster. Things start picking up, returns start to increase again, and we see something that's a little more comfortable for everybody.
Yeah, it seems like we're, from what the Fed has signaled, a different shift. It's certainly a different voice, different direction. And I agree with you. I think some of it is, yes, rates will come down and really what that help a lot of things. But so much of it, I think, is mental. People just getting out of uncertainty, which is what 2023 has felt like. And so many, talking to so many people, there was such a varied opinion in terms of where things were headed and what actions everybody was taking, just a total uncertainty across the board that looking like, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, that it'll create some greater certainty and allow for a greater number of transactions to take place across the industry.
Agreed. One of the hardest markets to invest in is a market that's going sideways. If it's going up, you know how to invest. If it's going down, you actually know how to invest. You can make money in both of those.
Right.
But when it's going sideways, it's hard. And I think that that's why a lot of the capital structures and capital markets have just kind of frozen up, is because they can't tell, are we up or down? Are we going up or down? What's the trend line? And so they just sit, and that's causing issues as far as getting things moving.
Sideways market, it's strong operators, essentially, not only, but those who are strong understand how to manage their properties, execute a tight business plan. That's it, right? And the margins are certainly tighter in that environment.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the things that comes from being a maverick is being able to think on your feet. And so as we went into 2023, most of the economists were saying it was going to be down, it's going to be a terrible market. But then as we're exiting, home prices actually appreciated maybe nationwide as much as 5%, which was much better.
Yeah.
And that's because of lack of inventory, which was good. But being able to switch, being able to pay attention and make those changes, being able to renegotiate if you're in a deal that's wrong to get a favorable exit for everybody is key, because that's what you have to do in order to move it forward.
Thinking back in the last 3 years, we have COVID and then we have the interest rate increase, the fastest, largest interest rate increase in history.
I mean, that was like...
So you're like, all that in 3 years. And so a lot of people got a lot of experience to go, how do we navigate everything that's getting thrown at us?
Right.
Yeah. It's an incredible amount of stuff.
Yes.
Tell me about when a passive investor is looking at a particular deal or a particular operator. I'll give you either one. What types of things should they be giving consideration to know, maybe I want to look at this or evaluate this deal or this person a little further?
Yeah. So of course you want to look at what the sponsor's history is. You want to understand what their experience is. You want to look at their business model. Are there contingencies set up? Are there risk mitigation options set up? Is it structured so that you're not being forced into sale if the market's not favorable? And so these are all the things that we do when we put our deals together, is we make sure that we are set up for the longevity of the deal to exit at the right time.
Yeah, that's great. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call the final four.
Okay.
We've touched on this, but maybe a little more specific. What is it that holds most passive investors back from hitting their next level, whatever their next level happens to be?
Yeah, fear. So fear creates paralysis. Mm-hmm. And so then they sit there. And the reality is they think that by not making a decision, they're safe, but they're actually more at risk. And so what they need to do is get the facts, make a decision, fail fast. If it's not working, get out, move on to the next one and learn. And coming from the Bay Area, we have a lot of venture capital. And venture right. capitalists, let's say, they'll invest in 10 companies with the expectation that only one is going to work. Mm-hmm. Like they just get out there, they diversify, they go in, they make the decision, and they wait for that one to work. Well, I think real estate investing, you can have a lot better odds than one out of 10. Yep. But you aren't going to have any odds if you don't make a decision and get in. And so find the facts, make the decision, move forward.
I think most investors would say that inaction is action.
Yes.
It just may be the worst choice of action.
Agreed.
What are you passionate about outside of real estate?
I just love hanging out with my family and travel. You know, we're getting ready to go to Iceland and explore that. So yeah, that's the thing, is just, you know, spending time creating memories with my family.
Your favorite book?
My favorite book. Jeez, that's a good one. I would say that it's probably The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, Keller Williams.
Gary Keller. Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite way to make an impact in the community?
So I love adding value. So whether it's a house or changing the use of a building, redeveloping an actual block like we're doing with our senior living, creating something that people can be proud of. So I just love going in and adding value, changing the use if needed, and doing that. That's my thing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, you have a world of experience. It's absolutely incredible. I know I could sit here and talk to you all day.
Yeah.
But say for the audience's sake, they want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you. I know you do projects and connect with passive investors. Where can they find you? What should they do?
Yeah. So head out to our website. It's www.fundingfaceoff.com, or you can shoot me an email direct, Lori@fundingfaceoff.com.
Perfect. Links below in the show notes for everybody. Lori, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, Neil, thank you so much.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.